What have you had replaced? I mean,
you mean an injury?
Yeah.
You're going to love it. You ready? Artificial knees, broken arches, broken toes, webbed. Can't lift either arm. Left a little better than the right because the biceps have snapped. Just can't lift it. I can't lift this arm. All upper body strength is gone. Okay, I wear that like Napoleon's elite guards wore their medals. That's what you pay to be a dancer. You pay it, and it's worth it.
You've been listening to an interview with Jacques d'Amboise, who died at the age of 88 on May 2nd, 2021, recorded April 6, 2011, while he was on tour for his memoir, I Was a Dancer. I'm Richard Walensky on Book Waves. Book Waves is produced by Richard Walensky in the studios of KPFA Pacifica Radio in Berkeley, California.
This is Daniela from STEM Champ. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBO Radio, Voices of Vision show by Pallavi and Charles Chambry. And we're excited to have you here. Pallavi, how's it going?
It's going wonderful. On Voices of Vision, this show, we spotlight authentic stories and voices making a difference in our community. We aim to inspire, inform, and connect. So just be yourself and come here as passionate as you can be for some insightful information. I'm your host, Pallavi Pandey, and I'm a small business owner of a sustainable brand called Detox, spelled as D-T-O-C-S, where we make classy, compostable tableware out of palm leaves for events and consumers.
And I'm Charles, international speaker, radio, TV host, adjunct professor, writer. Is that too much?
Keep going.
Okay. I'm done.
Toot your horn. This is a time. People need to know you're a community member.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Comedian too sometimes. But anyway, fashion enthusiast.
I can see that. So Charles is wearing a beautiful red heart on his, what do you call this corset?
Yeah, it's lapel.
Lapel. Sorry. Yeah, I don't have the terminology right here. And he's got an amazing hat that he sadly had to take off to put the headphones here in the station.
The lapel is a heart because I love everyone, especially our listeners today and also our guests, which is Dr. Pretty, but go ahead.
All right, so it is May and this month is the Mental Health Awareness Month. On our show today, we have our guest, like Charles rightly said, Dr. Pretty, whose name is spelled as P-R-I-T-I, Pretty Chandran, and she's a conscious leader and a mental fitness coach who helps individuals transform inner stress into strength and cultural divides into deep connections. Drawing from her unique path as a Navy dentist, first generation South Asian American, and parent of two adult children. I have young children. She has much older children now. She's almost an empty nester. Preeti empowers leaders and parents alike to cultivate resilience, harmony, and authentic influence in every space they touch.
All right. So welcome to our show today. So how is it going?
Fantastic.
You see your face expression. Yeah, it's like, that was great. Yeah, yeah. I could tell. Go ahead. So how was your week? How was everything?
It's been amazing. It really has.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how was your ride over here, getting over here?
It was very scenic coming down Burnside. You know, I came from the west side.
Yeah.
So just I drove down Burnside all the way and it was very scenic, very colorful.
Okay. Awesome. And tell us where you're from and all that good stuff. And how do we meet? This is our first time meeting, but tell us more about you.
Well, I am originally from Southern California, born and raised in Los Angeles, and I grew up there, and I've been in Portland for 22 years. My heart literally guided me to Portland, where I had never been before, and there was a calling to come here.
And I'm not surprised when you said you still found that route pretty and scenic after living here 22 years, and I'm sure driving that route like 100,000 times, million times?
People ask me, so how do you like Portland? And I say, no, I don't like Portland. I love Portland. I love it.
What an honest opinion here. Like, mm-hmm. love it. Mm-hmm. All right. Please tell us your business name. And would you also like to touch base on how did we meet?
Yeah. So, Bolivie, you and I met through a mutual friend. And gosh, that was quite some time back.
Was it pre-COVID?
It was pre-COVID. I want to say it was like 2018. So we're going back about 7 years, right? Yeah. If I did my math correctly in my brain. Yeah. So that's when we met through a mutual friend. And we just really hit it off and have built a few things together and continue to. And it's so exciting. The ride has been fabulous. And this is like another page in our chapter together.
I love it. So we've been writing chapters, Charles, for the last 7 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And would you like to know a little bit how or
I do,
what?
I do. But
yeah,
have you, like, chapters? Like, I write books, so, you know. Wait, why are you laughing? Have you thought about writing books?
No.
No.
Together?
We have a huge respect.
Since you get chapters?
No, we build community together.
Oh.
And each experience is like a page in that chapter.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. Do you want to name the community?
Yeah. So we have a local community here in Portland called Portland Brown Mommies. That is more than 2,000 women strong currently and continues to grow every week, every day. And we are there to help support and empower our South Asian women to bring out their best.
Thank you for sharing that. And to go one level deeper, why do you think support is important? You talk a lot about empowerment and support. So why does it matter? And why is that? Is that your area of focus? And if it is, please share with us your why.
This is a great question. So my oldest child, my daughter, turned 21 yesterday.
Oh.
And in my moments of just reflecting back, it was like, wow, the person who I've become today, if I was this person with this level of competency, skills, and awareness, and whoever it is, if my kids had this mom back then, things would look a little different for them.
Beautiful.
And so with what I do today, it's really to help those moms for the person who I didn't have access to.
Great. You're listening to KBO Radio, Voices of Vision with Charles and Pallavie. It's May Mental Health Awareness Month on Voices of Vision, where we show spotlight authentic stories and voices that make a difference in the community.
All right. This May on Voices of Vision on KBOO, we're honoring Mental Health Awareness Month by holding space for real, raw, and restorative conversations from entrepreneurship burnout to navigating identity, motherhood, and mental wellness. We're amplifying stories that deserve to be heard because mental health isn't a side note. It is the foundation. Tune in, lean in, and let's talk about what really matters. So here are some funny, fun, engaging questions I have for you, Dr. Preeti Chandran. Are you ready?
Fire away.
All right. Let's get the ball rolling here. And I would like to understand and get our audience to understand what is mental fitness and why is that important?
Yes. So mental fitness, you know, you might relate to this, Bolivie, and you too, Charles. We often have that inner chatter that happens in our head that kind of takes over our mind. So there's a part of our mind that wants to rule over. And when that's kind of behind the driver's wheel, it's usually sabotaging us. It's usually making us feel not good enough. We feel a lot of self-doubt and all that. And then there's another part of us, of our brain or our mind, which is there to support us and serve us and bring out the best of us where we can create and do awesome stuff. And so mental fitness is really strengthening that part of your brain so that you can boost your performance, improve your well-being, and strengthen your relationships.
I love it. It sounded like it's like you're doing reps in the gym again and again, again and again to train that brain.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely.
Love it. Okay. What do you feel? Charles.
I'm ready with the next question.
All right. Let's dive in.
Great. So who is conscious leadership for?
Great question. Sometimes conscious leadership could sound like a mouthful. Like, ooh, that just went over my head.
That was a mouthful.
It was a mouthful, wasn't it?
For me.
Yeah, it was.
just for me.
I appreciate your honesty, Charles. Okay. It was. So I like to break it down simply. Conscious means to be aware. Mm-hmm. And leadership is influence. So if I am aware of my influence, Now this becomes possible for everybody and anybody, because in any given moment, I am having influence on people around me. Mm. That can be good, that can be bad. And sometimes my intentions are good, but it might be creating more harm than good. But I got to be aware of it first.
I love that. You have to be aware first in order to bring any changes, or you got to stop pretending. That's what I took away from this, that you got to be yourself, honest, transparent, and not pretend.
Yeah, and a lot of times we have patterns or behaviors or thoughts that are part of our unconscious mind mm-hmm. that we're just not aware of. Uh-huh. And so when we actually bring them into our awareness, we're like, oh, that's what's happening. That's why I reacted and yelled at my kid.
I do that a lot. So I need to train my unconscious brain and conscious brain, both of those.
No, you don't have to train the unconscious brain.
Okay, so I just leave it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, leaving it aside, moving to our third question, chaos meeting the calm. Mm. What's your go-to practice when the world is loud and your mind is louder? Mm-hmm. And this is something I feel almost every day, living as a mom, as a mompreneur. Mm-hmm. So please give us some tips.
I love this question. Oftentimes people say, this is so hard. This is so hard. However, like we were talking about what's in our conscious awareness as opposed to our unconscious parts of us, the bridge between there would be to actually see what's regulating our nervous system. And that's why we feel stressed when our nervous system is not regulated, right? So my go-to thing is actually to take a pause and to take a deep, slow breath. Mm. And you could do that in any given moment. It's a microsecond. But to pause and breathe kind of elevates my awareness, puts me into my awareness of who am I being in this moment? What am I doing? What am I saying? What's happening here?
Mm, I love that ritual, like a breathing exercise. What do you say, Charles? Do you ever do it? Do you ever feel like you could use that? Because as a mom, I'm like always like, let me get away. Let me ground myself. Let me come back to I'm doing things so hard. Let me take a break. Let me become peaceful and let me restart. How about you? Have you ever practiced it?
You know, I teach a class at PCC. I teach emotional intelligence, and I stress the importance of meditation and meditation in the morning, meditation as needed. Mm. And there's 100 ways to meditate. There's a book that I like. I usually reference, and so but it requires proper breathing. So, so that's what I think about when you say that, or ask me about that.
Mm. How do you know when you need a break like that? Because most of the times, like Preeti was saying, we're not even aware we need a break, or we need to slow down, or we need to take that breath or catch up. How do we identify that? Mm-hmm. That's a follow-up question.
It's a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Charles was like, you have to do it when you need it. I can never find my need.
Well, I would say it's just like a practice. If I want to strengthen my bicep, I wouldn't just go pick up the 5-pound weight, you know, at one time and expect to be strong.
Right.
I would have to do it repeatedly, make it into a practice.
Right.
And we carry our breath at all times with us. It's always with us. You know, you don't have to unpack it or dig it out from the garage or anywhere. It's always with you.
Love it. How about we all practice like 3 breaths right now with our audience here? Let's do it.
Are you going to lead out for that?
Sure, I can lead out.
Go ahead.
I know. So, just as a disclaimer, if you're driving, you might not want to do this.
Yeah.
Although eyes open. You can still take a deep breath when you are driving as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So just, in your own. So yeah, go ahead and, you know, make yourself comfortable and go ahead and inhale. 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. Inhale. 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. So I'm going to ask you, what did both of you notice with that?
It was hard. I couldn't go beyond 3. Like 1, 2, 3, and I was done. I couldn't take it further up. Like 4 and 5. I kind of felt shortness of breath.
And that's okay. Sometimes you can do it at your own pace.
Mm-hmm. I feel more relaxed.
Wonderful. Yeah. What happened to the chatter in the head?
Say it one more time.
What happened to the voice in the head, that the little chatter that's always playing in the background?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, great. So it disappeared. Wonderful.
See, the power of breathing exercise, guys.
Yes.
Got quiet.
Yes. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. So as a first generation South Asian American woman, how did you move from living from met expectations to live in alignment with your truth?
Mm. This is a great question. I would say it was by doing my inner work, going within me. Because all these expectations are external to me. And that part of my mind, which is, we need no practice in being reactive, right? We were so conditioned in that. That was taking over. But when I actually slowed down, and I didn't do the work alone, I actually leaned out for help and support with mentors, coaches, and wasn't going to do it alone. And I couldn't read about it and do it, because we can't think our way through this. But the inner work, going within, and really, really being able to embrace myself fully, all of me, not just parts of me, and reject other parts of me.
I like that.
Yeah. That was part of how I was able to really fully embrace all of me, so that I can show up just as me, wherever I am.
So it sounds like a practice within, finding your alignment, and then raising the question, is this true to me? Because when this is true to you, you can find that power within.
And it's a continuous journey, Pallavi. You know, it's not just a one done and all. I think it's a life's journey. As we do our inner work, we're on that journey to continuously grow and learn about ourselves. It uncovers so much. And in those moments of growth, when we're in the time of challenge and stress, that's when it reveals itself, and we get to grow from it.
So it sounds like you need to practice it before you get into such a situation, because if you've been practicing now, you can easily pivot from that challenging moment in your life into this moment now, when you can lean into this practice and be like, I can handle this, I got this, all I need to do is reflect within myself and find the true myself and then handle the situation. It's like how when you're in an accident, if you try to find, oh, which insurance should I now call if you don't have an insurance, right? Is it the same analogy?
Yeah, and through the practice, you begin to look forward to challenge, because you know at the other end, I will have learned something, have grown from it, or something good is going to come out of it. There's going to be discomfort, but that's why they say growth happens outside of your comfort zone. And it's uncomfortable to be at that edge, but that's where the challenge is.
Yeah, and I also think, to circle back on that, we both are women of color, minority, and we've, of course, gone through a lot of different kind of pressures that I think Charles might feel different. So that's a question for Charles here. Now,
I've gone through some pressures.
Okay. Would you like to elaborate a little bit or touch on it? How did you handle it?
I mean, I'm glad you're asking that. I mean, I think, not to get political or anything like that, but I think as a male, African-American male, there are some barriers. And I think, you know, being in leadership, teaching in leadership, I find that depending on where I'm at, I felt as though people are not used to a leader like me that looks like me. And so sometimes there's a challenge with that. And I understand it's there, and I don't make excuses for it. I just see it as an opportunity to look for strategies and look for ways to overcome that and be the best leader I can be. But yeah, that's how I would answer that.
So in one line, how do you find that personal power? Like, I know it sounds like you've gone through these challenges and you try to do so much. What is that one way, or what works for you to find that personal power?
That's a great question. What I like is kind of what I alluded to about meditation in the morning. I'm really big on morning rituals. Again, that's the time where I meditate, I pray, I read something inspiring, I write in my journal, I'm reading through multiple books. And I write?
Yeah. No wonder you're a writer. And you have published a book. We are stuck here on pages. Okay. Keep bringing it, okay.
But all those things give me power, right? There's power in journaling.
Yes.
I mean, we should have a whole segment for that. Is that something that you touch on too?
Yeah,
for
we do.
Journaling? Okay, good, good. But yeah, all those things help me to gain power and strength.
Wow. So Love it. All right, thank you for sharing, Dr. Preeti and Charles. Now let's get real. What's one limiting belief you've personally overcome, and how did that change your life?
This is another really good question, Pallavi, because I held a limiting belief being born and raised here within an Indian family, immigrant Indian family. I held this belief that I didn't belong. I didn't belong with the Indian community because I wasn't Indian enough. And I didn't belong with the American community because I wasn't American enough. And I held that belief for a long time. And one of the ways that I broke out of it, which is not surprising here because we just talked about this, was stepping up in that position alongside with you for Portland Brown Mommies, putting myself in places of discomfort and showing more of myself. And this happened kind of as I was doing my inner work and broke those big beliefs apart. And I was like, you know what? There's more to this than just about me. This is much bigger. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you honed into this community where you could come and you could be yourself, whether you wanted to be like a, first generation Indian or an American who's born here.
Yeah. And I'm the oldest in my generation. So, you know, I was the guinea pig in my family. They wanted to do everything right with me.
But here's hats off to you. You tried to break that cycle.
I did.
That cycle that's taught to us, that we're made to practice because we don't know any better until we figure it out, until we are aware and we try to make those changes for ourselves.
And I'm going to own it. I have broken many cycles, many unhealthy cycles with both my adult children.
I love that. And I think that's a piece of culture I feel sometimes proud of. And sometimes those taboos like really kill my heart. And as a parent, I think it makes me feel good that now I can choose whether I want to pass or I want to, I'll be fine with my kids picking on this or not.
It's really fascinating. It kind of boils down to two simple things. A lot of them you can find whether it's based in fear or based in love.
Right.
And that's a really good compass for me because when I recognize it's fear, that tells me, hey, let's change this trajectory because there's no good outcome when it's led by fear.
Right.
Which is that part of our mind that's telling us you're not good enough or something else is pushing those expectations. But if I can pause and shift it to, okay, how can I come from a place of love? Now I'm going to bring curiosity to it. I'm going to bring empathy to it. I'm going to be able to tap into my creativity, co-create solutions, and it's just going to have a better outcome.
This is such a wonderful tip for anybody. If you're a mom, if you're a wife, if you're a husband, if you're a partner, if you're just any human being, this tip of going back to what you're doing today is out of love or is it out of fear? That's your compass telling you whether this is something that will work for you or not.
Nice. The vision forward. So what kind of vision do you see the world and like how do you want to create that with that vision? And then with that being said, is it like one coaching session at a time? Like how would you explain that? Please answer.
Ooh, the vision. My vision is to create spaces and sessions where people or groups are seen, felt, heard, and understood. That's my vision. Because if I can create that, now there's space in each home where that gets practiced. And our children's voices, the voices of the future generation, is also seen, felt, and heard. And that to me matters a lot. Because as a young girl, there was many times where my voice was
not heard
or put on mute. And so, you know, I had to do some of the stuff myself and iron things out, the wrinkles and the inner work. And it's still a journey for me. There's times where it's uncomfortable or I feel like I can't speak my voice, use my voice. Doesn't happen too often. But that's a vision I see is that safety to speak and to trust that I will be heard. I'll be understood.
Beautiful. And to say a few words on Preeti's vision forward. I do want to give a live testimony here. Like she was talking about creating space.
I love it.
And having a safety net so that people can share. And I have been in that safety net as a community member, as a mom. And I've taken so many tips from Preeti's coaching session and sessions, I will say, because I'm like, every time I have a question on parenting, as a wife, as a group member, as a community member, as a leader, I have gone to her for like, give me advice. What can I do? And she's given me literally firsthand suggestions because she's been in my shoes.
Thank you, Bolivia. I appreciate that. And I'll say we've created those spaces as I facilitated for our members when we gather on a monthly basis. We create those experiences where we get to hear our members' voices. Oftentimes things that they might not say in the other spaces that they hang out in.
So that being said, do you like yourself being called Dr. Preeti Chandran or Coach Preeti Chandran? Which one would it be?
I know. Probably just Pretty.
Okay.
So I used to be a dentist, and I had that part of me hid in the closet for the longest time, about a good decade. But part of bringing the doctor along was, it's part of my journey. It's part of who I am. And so I do embrace it still. But no, there's no formality there.
All right.
Well, I'm here in the here at the KBO studio, and she's a pretty doctor. Can I say that?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
She is pretty.
Okay.
With a beautiful heart, just like yours, that is on your lapel.
Nice. Dr. Pretty, how we stay in contact with you?
Well, you can go to my website, prettychandran.com, and we can connect from there.
All righty. Yes, you're listening to KBO Radio with Voices of Visions with Charles and Pallavi. It was great listening to you, hearing you, having you on the show. Have an awesome, awesome, awesome day.
Plants get sweeter when they hear bees. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
The Atlantic hurricane season starts June 1st, and forecasters say that while they don't think it will be as damaging as 2024, the third costliest on record, they are expecting more storms than normal because of warmer than average ocean water, which contributes to storm formation.
Experts at the National Weather Service are predicting 13 to 19 named storms, with 6 becoming hurricanes and up to 5 having winds of more than 110 miles per hour.
The forecast comes as the Weather Service, which is part of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, has had huge job cuts by DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency.
Laura Grimm, NOAA's acting administrator, said at a news conference that the Hurricane Center is fully staffed because it's a top priority for the Trump administration.
However, cuts in other areas of NOAA have already reduced weather balloon launches and have left some offices with no forecasters overnight.
Staff reductions could affect preparedness for tornadoes. The country's on track to sustain more of them than in 2024, which was the second busiest on record.
The weather and climate community is sounding the alarm. Starting on Wednesday, May 28th, they will hold a 5-day weather and climate live stream where scientists will give 20-minute presentations in which the public can interact.
Is it possible that plants react to the sounds and vibrations insects make as they flap their wings, hover, land, and take off? A new study says plants do, and they increase their nectar production in response.
Francesca Barbero of the University of Turin and her team made recordings of buzzing pollinators, in this case the snail shell bee, and played them near snapdragons.
The scientists learned that the flowers increased both the amount of nectar and its sugar content when the sounds of bees were played nearby.
In the past, the relationship between plants and pollinators has been studied primarily through smells and visual cues like color. But Barbero says that there is growing evidence that both insects and plants can sense, produce, and transmit signals through vibrations and sound. Some buzzworthy science.
Antarctic ecosystems are stressed. Global warming is accelerating sea ice decline and shrinking ice shelves, which affects not only local wildlife, but also climate patterns around the planet. One unlikely hero to slow these effects is about 2.5 feet tall, a great swimmer, and has a tuxedo-like appearance.
Adelie penguins, which themselves could fall victim to shifts in Antarctica, may help to reduce the effects of climate change through their guano.
The penguin poo contains significant amounts of ammonia, which plays a role in cloud formation, according to a new study. More clouds could help reduce surface temperatures and slow sea ice loss by reflecting sunlight back into space.
The discovery came from a team of researchers at the University of Helsinki who were studying a colony of Adelie penguins in Antarctica. They say ammonia gas emitted from the guano reacted with sulfur gas produced by phytoplankton in the ocean to form aerosol particles upon which water vapor could condense to create clouds.
The scientists observed that after a strong wind blew across their study site, where around 60,000 penguins were gathered, the number of aerosol particles increased, and 3 hours later, fog emerged.
If further research concludes that the birds are helping to mitigate climate change, they're protecting not only their own habitat, but ours too.
And finally, marine heat waves. Periods of persistent warm ocean waters are increasing and becoming longer and more intense because of global warming. These extreme events threaten marine life, which must adapt or perish. But according to a new study, one fish has a plan.
The clown anemone fish, made famous in the movie Finding Nemo, shrinks to improve its chances of survival when the water gets too hot.
Researchers from Newcastle University studied a wild population of the reef fish, recognizable for their orange and white stripes, in Papua New Guinea during a marine heat wave in 2023. They found that the clownfish would get shorter as temperatures rose, the first time a coral reef fish has been found to shrink in response to environmental conditions.
In the study, 100 of 134 fish they measured reduced their length, which upped their chances of survival by nearly 80%. The authors say that shrinking helps the fish decrease their needs, as heat waves can reduce food availability and warmer waters have less oxygen. Two reasons it could be better to be small.
There are downsides. Smaller fish lay fewer eggs, and that could lower birth rates at a time when many marine species are already experiencing population declines from overfishing, pollution, habitat destruction, and climate change.
In an interesting observation, the team found that if the clownfish shrank at the same time as their breeding partner, they both had a higher chance of survival because it reduced social conflict between the two, where females are generally bigger and dominant.
Sounds like a potential plot for a future sequel called Finding Nemo, Climate Change Edition. Clownfish that shrink together, stay together.
That's it for this week in water. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification.